truth. Hey gang, welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. It is the Oscars show of free speech because this is where people come and slap each other in the face. I don't know. It's actually not. That's what it's not. It's not the Oscars of free speech. But
did you know, Patrick, before you introduced the show, black people only make up 13% of the population, but they make up 100% of those that assault people at the Oscars.
And I had a really funny comeback for that. I had a funny comeback for that. But let it just be said that Will Smith demonstrated a lack of impulse control.
He certainly did. He certainly did.
All right. And one thing is, the Oscars, people used to say Oscars so white, and I would say no, Oscars so kosher certified. So download the kosher certified app from nationalbugle.com because we're the number one site for downloading the kosher certified app from. That's what you want to do. All right, so this was a show, and we planned to do the whole show around the Oscars, didn't we?
Well, you may have done. I didn't even watch it. In fact, the only thing I saw of the Oscars was that slap. If it hadn't been for that slap, I'm not even sure I'd have known. And it was a very effeminate slap as well. It wasn't a sort of a masculine punch, was it? He didn't come flying in there with a big daddy punch. It was a very, very effeminate slap.
Yeah. And Chris Rock took it like a man.
I think he was more shocked. I mean, let's give it to Chris Rock, right? Mm-hmm. Chris Rock has to go down in Hollywood history as possibly the most consummate professional they've ever had presenting a show. Because most people would probably get slightly riled if they were booed or if they got like a bad crowd reception. But for him to carry on as if nothing happened after getting that slap, I've got to say, Chris Rock, you did well, boy. You did well,
then,
lad.
And then handling the expletive laden shouting from the seats afterwards. I will just say that Don Black, the founder of Stormfront, he's actually a Chris Rock fan. So Chris Rock's got something going for him. But actually, that's not what we were here to talk about today.
It's not. But I'm a Chris Rock fan now. I think everyone should be. It's like, to take that. And you could see. I just got to say this. One thing I really liked about it was, obviously, Will Smith is thick. Obviously, Will Smith is not an intelligent man. And that sounds like a harsh thing to say. You might see saying stuff like, why are you saying he's thick? Why are you saying he's not an intelligent man? Well, if you actually watched what went on, and I did watch what went on in slow motion, he was sat with his horrible, vile wife, and his wife is horrible and vile. She's been cheating on him. She's publicly humiliated him. She is a cow. She is a class A cow. And he was sat with his horrible, vile wife. And when Chris Rock made that joke, I don't know if you saw, but Will Smith starts off by laughing. Will Smith makes the mistake of laughing at this verboten joke. And his wife basically tells him off and is like, you do realize he's making fun of me. This isn't like acceptable. I don't like this. And it was when she told him off, did his attitude change. So he's obviously not particularly intelligent. He's obviously somebody who isn't, he's not a smart guy because he couldn't actually tell, you know, what was really going on in this situation. And when he does figure out what is going on, he then has to act and he has to defend the honor of his wife by slapping Chris Rock and then starts screaming and shouting. But the embarrassing thing is, Will Smith's wife is obviously nowhere near as famous as him. She's nowhere near as prolific when it comes to acting. And She actually has this podcast that she does. She invited him on her podcast. And when he went on her podcast, it was so that she could publicly tell him that she'd been cheating on him. And now they're in some kind of open relationship. So he is actually a cuckold. He's actually a cuckold. So not only did he do this, but he is a genuine real life cuck. And he did this obviously to sort of curry some kind of favor with this woman who actually completely disrespects him. So when you actually look at the whole situation, from his point of view, this is 110% utterly tragic. This is one of those things that you look at and you think to yourself, this guy, he's in a bad way. He's in a bad way. You know, he's made a complete fool of himself. He's an absolute disgrace. He's overreacted to what was clearly just a joke. And he's defending a woman who publicly humiliated him, continues to publicly humiliate him, and goes out sleeping with other people. And he puts up with it. So Will Smith is definitely the failure in all of this. Yeah. And the winner, the guy who comes out of this, is actually the champ, is Chris Rock. The only way this would be any funnier is if Chris Rock was one of the men sleeping with Smith's wife while Smith is at home sort of doing the laundry or whatever he does on nights when his missus is getting serviced, shall we say, is that a polite way to say it, getting serviced by another man.
Yeah, well, Chris Rock probably has standards. You know, the thing that it made me think of immediately, and I don't want to linger on this too long, but So Will Smith does this in public. He assaults Chris Rock in public to defend his wife from a joke, nominally at least, right? And then I think back to like Charlottesville and Jacob Goodwin, where you had these blacks who were physically assaulting an older man who had been carrying a Confederate flag, and this one DeAndre Harris, hits him in the head with a maglite. You know, it's a police flashlight, but it's used as a club. And he smacked him in the head so hard that, you know, you could get a concussion. You could even get a fractured skull from something like that. And Jacob Goodwin and two other men spend about maybe a total of 5 or 6 seconds pushing him, separating DeAndre from the man, pushing him to the ground and giving him a few blows. And they've got 8 years in prison. And, you know, for this, for Will Smith, it's just probably just going to get publicity.
Yeah, it is. There's absolutely... That's just... Really, there was very little to no justification for this. And, you know, he will obviously... There will be no punishment. We know there's not going to be any punishment. We know the system is hideously anti-white. And this will not affect this man's career. You know, the fact is, it took a long time. It didn't take a long time for people to be talking about it. It was very quick for it to be talked about. Instantly, everyone is chatting about this because it's the big news. And that is important to state. Everyone was talking about it. But the interesting thing was, people didn't know what take to have. So people on Twitter, the outrage mob on Twitter, for once weren't outraged. They didn't know what to say. They didn't know what to do because they hadn't been told yet. There wasn't an official narrative for them to spread. So what these people clearly do, like with COVID or like with the war in the Ukraine, they wait for the official narrative, you know, the, what should we call it, you know, the Don Lemon narrative, when, you're one of these leading influencers or somebody who's on, a major TV station, sort of left-leaning TV station, or one of these late-night talk show hosts, you know, when they start to give their opinion on something, that's the opinion that's adopted by these the outrage mob on Twitter, and they then sort of retweet it and give their own takes and talk about how disgusting it was. But no one was actually saying that, because for a while there wasn't an official narrative, because Chris Rock was making fun of somebody about their disability. It was about their alopecia. Will Smith attacked him but they said you can't have violence. But it was a black man attacking somebody, but it was a black man attacking another black man. And the guy was joking, but he was probably joking about something that was hurting somebody's feelings. So there was all these kind of different sort of swirling, highly politicized ideas that were coming out of this. And because of that, people just couldn't give a take. There was no takes to be had, because ultimately, what could somebody say? You know, if you weren't to stick up for Will Smith's wife, were you allowing a man to be mean to a woman in public over something she'd feel uncomfortable at? That's bad. But if you stuck up for, if you stuck up for Will Smith, you're sticking up for somebody who's been violent, and he's been violent to another black man. So, are you condoning black-on-black violence? What take could you possibly have? Now, obviously, the same take is Will Smith is an absolute loser. He's a guy who's been cucked. He shouldn't have been sticking up for his wife. He didn't understand the joke in the first place, which means he's pretty thick. He then stuck up for a cheating cow. And really, Chris Rock made a joke, and you shouldn't be hit for making a joke. That is the only same take.
It's not even clear that he knew that she had a skin condition, because some black women just do, like, it's a thing where they shave their head or keep very, very short hair.
Yeah. I mean, really, I think what happened is when Will Smith got up on stage, people thought he was going to have a quiet word with him, or thought that maybe he was going to say something funny back, or, you know, but I don't think anyone was expecting the slap, least of all Chris Rock. You know, Chris Rock was not expecting the slap. And when the slap came, well, as I say, Chris Rock, consummate professional, just carried on like a trooper.
All right. Well, I'll give you what my initial take was, and then we'll move on. But so I got a text from someone saying, Will Smith just attacked Chris Rock on stage at the Oscars. Doesn't look scripted. And I write back, what's all that? And then I say, before he tells me what it's about, I say, let me just say I side with Chris Rock, even if I don't know what happened. Okay. Well, anyway, so even not knowing what happened, I side with Chris Rock because I don't care. So somebody might call me a Chris Rock shill. And I'll say, all right. I mean,
he's shilling for Chris Rock. Has Chris Rock got some tickets he needs to sell for some kind of comedy gig, and you're shilling for them?
I'm shilling for him. I don't know. Partly,
has he partnered with the Kashertified app?
No. But you know, he's done some funny stuff, and he said some stuff that the blacks don't like, and Don Black respects him, and whereas Will Smith, I've never seen anything that I thought was. I don't watch a lot of Hollywood. I remember him from a TV show, The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. And it just seems
it's quite
like,
funny, isn't it? Because after all the years that Will Smith's been in Hollywood, after all the years of making these top-tier Hollywood films, and obviously making a lot of money, etc., from these, when people say Will Smith, they still think The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. That's really interesting. Like, he's never really got out of the shadow of that, has he?
I guess not. But anyway, shill for Chris Rock, and I'll admit that. Am I a shill for Vladimir Putin?
Well, that's the big question, isn't it, Patrick? Talking of shilling, we both you and I have been accused of being shills.
Have I been accused? I guess I have been.
You have. We have both been accused of shilling for Putin.
Okay, and just like with Chris Rock. I do remember on this show, I think it was with you, a couple of months ago when we were speculating on whether or not there would be war or if, in what circumstances. And maybe it was with you, maybe it was someone else. I said that I hope Vladimir Putin doesn't attack Ukraine. But if he does, I stand with Putin. I said that. And it's because, I mean, I think he's been pushed and pushed and pushed and pushed, and you know you keep your fingers crossed, but at some point there's going to be a line where it's no longer acceptable, where a person rightly feels if I don't push back now, then I'm going to wind up in a position where I can't. If I don't fight back now, I'll wind up in a completely indefensible position. And so, you know, when I said that, I said, I hope he doesn't attack, but if he does, I stand with him. It's like, I hope that he's not at that point yet where he has to. But if he does, if he feels that he's at that point, I think that he probably knows better what's good for his country than I do. And so that was my gut reaction. So does that make me a shill? And
I don't know. I've got to say, a shill is somebody that.
Huh?
No, I don't think it does, because to me, a shill is somebody who pushes for something and they never criticize it. You see, the first thing is, you can agree with what somebody does on one occasion without agreeing with everything that person does. Now, I don't agree with everything that Vladimir Putin does. I think Vladimir Putin is preferable to the likes of Joe Biden and Boris Johnson. I don't think there is a debate going on in Russia at the moment where politicians are refusing to define what a woman is. I don't think in Russia at the moment there is some debate over what a woman is. So here in the UK at the moment, a lot of talk show hosts or a lot of radio hosts, a lot of people in the media keep asking politicians, what is a woman? And they keep asking that because it brings in ratings, because at the moment there are, in the UK, politicians are refusing to say what a woman is. They're refusing to actually say a woman is an adult human female. That is, at the moment, in the UK, an extremely controversial point that people are shying away from addressing. And I think that's ridiculous. Now, I doubt in Russia that is a point at all. I should imagine if you went on TV and said to Vladimir Putin, what is a woman? He would say, oh, what are you talking about? It's an adult human female. That's what a woman is. But here in the UK, here in probably in America as well, if you got somebody and said, what is a woman? Can you please define a woman? They would absolutely refuse to do so. And here in the UK, you have the National Health Service now is going to be asking all men, you know, when they take scans, are you pregnant at the moment? Because they are denying that there is any biological basis to, you know, to gender, to your sex. It's ridiculous. Now, I don't think things like that happen in Russia. And that, to me, means that Russia is a more sane place to live than the West, more sane than Western nations. Does that mean I agree with everything Vladimir Putin does? No. Vladimir Putin has passed laws that makes it illegal to criticize certain things that Jews do. He has passed anti-Semitism laws. I don't agree with that. I think that's a negative. I think that's bad for the Russian people. Do I think that Putin treats political dissidents fairly in Russia? I would say being a political dissident in Russia is probably something that is quite dangerous at times. Do I think Russia is always in the right when it comes to their social policies? No. Do I think social policy in Russia is on the whole preferable to social policy in the West? Yes, I do. Do I think that Russia as a geopolitical force is in an important counterbalance to the West? Yes. Somebody made a very good point that on my show, I think it was Warren Balog, that essentially if the West has no counterbalance anywhere else, they would be even more vehemently anti-white than they are at the moment, that their anti-whiteness basically increases when they don't have any political counterbalance. So a powerful Russia is an important counterbalance to America and Britain. And the American and British establishments are, whether people want to accept this or not, they are vehemently anti-white. So I do think that Putin does some good. Do I think he's perfect? No. Can I say somebody isn't perfect and support what they do when they do something right? Well, of course I can. I think that's an important thing to say.
Okay. Well, we're at the first break. We're going to be right back. Mm-hmm.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it. And how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get. And you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
And we are back and we're discussing why we are or aren't shills for Vladimir Putin. And I'm just going to walk down memory lane a little bit. And I remember the first time I heard about Vladimir Putin. And I was a big follower of the developments going on in Russia and the Soviet Union in the 80s and the 90s. That was a big thing for me. And Russia had gone once the Soviet Union broke up and Russia was now the seat of power. I mean, it wasn't the Soviet Union anymore. The Russian government was the seat of power and the possessor of all the nuclear weapons and everything. And it was run by Boris Yeltsin, who was a total train wreck and alcoholic and allowed for the country to promptly be all the valuable assets to be gobbled up by Jewish oligarchs. It was a disaster. And so it was... Now, he was president, and there was this position of prime minister. And because Yeltsin was such an alcoholic, the prime minister the prime minister potentially could put things in one direction or another direction. And I remember these prime ministers, and Yegor Gaidar was the one who never was even approved by the parliament. So he was always in the position of acting prime minister, and it was under him they did the privatization. Then you had this Viktor Chernomyrdin, who I guess was a corrupt gas executive from the communist era, and he at least seemed competent, but you know, wasn't putting things in the right direction or anything. You had another a Jew named Kirienko. Then you had another Jew named Yevgeny Primakov, who actually seemed like a pretty serious person, a pretty decent person. But then the Yugoslav War happened, and it was it caused him to fall out of favor, and plus maybe Yeltsin was viewing him as a rival. But everything, it was like a complete shipwreck. And of course, the 1996 presidential election had to be faked because Yevgeny Primakov, the leader of the Communist Party, would have won it if it wasn't faked. And there was this showdown scheduled for 2000. Yevgeny Primakov was running. He was the head of the Communist Party, and the joke was that Yeltsin or capitalism had done in 3 years what communism couldn't do in 70 years, and that was make communism look good. So that was the situation. Yeltsin's popularity was like at 3%, and the Jewish oligarchs were freaking out because Yevgeny's there. Yevgeny Primakov, Gennady Zyuganov is there saying that if Jews want to act like Russians, fine, but otherwise they should just get the hell out. He was being blatantly anti-Semitic and was a massive threat to their positions, and they needed a savior. And, you know, so Primakov was gone. They brought in this other guy. He was gone in a couple of months. And, like, it was like the ship was sinking. And then they brought in Putin. That's the first time I heard of Putin. I'd never heard of him. He was young, but he was about 42 years old or something. Or I can't remember exactly. He was in his early 40s. And he comes in and rights the ship. But, you know, it's like in a way that was very disappointing for me because he gets tough on this Chechen terrorism, gets the country to rally around the flag, and then defeats Gennady Zyuganov. After, you know, Yeltsin had resigned, he becomes acting president, and then he defeats Gennady Zyuganov. And I was like, well, were those false flags? And maybe they were. I don't know. Maybe they were, maybe they weren't. I was very, very, I was actually very distraught that this guy is brought in by the Jewish oligarchs to save the day, to keep Russia from going back to rule by the Communist Party. But it was a very different Communist Party. It was a Communist Party that was competing in elections, and it was a Communist Party led by somebody making very openly anti-Semitic remarks about the Jews who had taken over. So from my point of view, I thought, like, in 2000, I was rooting for Gennady Zyuganov. And Putin, did he, like, I don't know whether or not those were false flags. So I was kind of very, very disappointed. And then, of course, when 9/11 happened, Putin was the first person to call George Bush and offer support. So, you know, these were things that I didn't approve of. But within a few years, he kicked out the leading, he'd gone after the leading oligarchs, gone off the top ones, Berezinski, who actually helped, was more than anybody else the person who got him into the prime ministership in the first place. And he winds up taking over, nationalizing his media holdings, driving him out of the country. And of course, he wound up dying. I don't think he was poisoned or anything, but he wound up dying. Khodorkovsky, the richest man in Russia, who had taken over the Yukos oil industry. Well, no, he throws him in prison for years and takes back the oil company, uses those riches to better the people's lives. And so at some point, I just said, well, look, okay, I don't know how that guy got into power, but he has turned on the people who got him into power. And he is now using the riches of the Russian natural resources for the Russian people, and you got to respect that. I'm sorry, I talk all the way to the break, but we'll get you as soon as we come back.
Ground floor perfumery, stationery and leather goods, wigs and haberdashery, kitchenware and food.
The truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 today.
Extendivite 7-herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
We are back. Sorry for that rather long, lengthy monologue, but that's when I became a Putin fan. I didn't start out as one, but I became one.
So you said you're a Putin fan, but do you think Putin gets some things wrong? That's the key thing, because I think when we talk about things like this, obviously, you know, tensions ride high on different issues, and you know, you want to make the right takes, but I think it's important that when you do talk about things, you can, you know, you can be open and honest and sort of, obviously we're partisan in some way, in the sense that we are nationalists, in the sense that we want to put the well-being of our own people first, and that we want to ensure that other people aren't placing themselves or others above our people. But let's talk about things in a slightly nuanced way. And we'll start by talking about Biden. Now, I think Biden is on balance an absolute disaster for America. I think Biden on balance is somebody who is a complete dithering, blithering idiot who ultimately poses, how can I say, a threat to American people and a threat to America. And when I say American people, I'm talking about white people. I'm saying that he is a threat to white people, and that what he is pushing, what he stands for, is bad for our interests as a group, or the interests of white Americans as a group, I should say, because I am white, but I am not a white American. Now, saying all that, do I think that every single thing that Biden does is incorrect? No, I don't. So I'll give you an example. Biden was the one to swiftly end the American occupation of Afghanistan. I think that's a good thing? Yes, I do.
Yeah.
Do I applaud
Biden? I was on the Biden bus I pretended to be, but it was a good thing.
Yeah, that was a good thing. Now, am I going to condemn Biden for that? No. Am I going to praise him for that? Yes. Does it mean I agree with everything he does? No. Do I think that, on balance, he is a bad president? Yes. Do I think he is, on balance, worse than Trump? Yes. Does that mean that I think Trump is perfect because I've said, on balance, he is better than Biden? No. Now, that is, or what we're talking about now, is nuance. It's being able to have a look at something and say, well, this guy has certain good points and has certain bad points. And I think that you can do that without shilling for somebody. Now, do I think that Putin, on balance, is a better leader and better for his people than Biden is as a leader of the Americans and for white American people? Yes, I do. Do I think that Putin is better on balance for the Russian people than Boris Johnson is for the British people? Absolutely, I do. Do I think that if I had to go and sit in a bar and have a drink with a world leader, I would get on better? Who would I get on better with? Biden, Boris, or Putin? Well, I'd get on better with Putin. I think I have more in common with him. Does that mean everything that Putin does, I slavishly agree with and would rubber stamp? Well, absolutely not, because he does do things that I disagree with. You know, he goes to Israel. He wears the little hat. He has friends in the, you know, Chabad Lubavitch movement. He is somebody that has changed laws in Russia that, in my opinion, stifle free speech when it comes to Jewish power. Are these things good? No. Do I agree with them? No. Are they things that we should cheerlead? No. But the fact is, when you're looking at world leaders today, is there any world leader anywhere in the world that does everything just as I, Mark Collett, would do it? Well, no, of course not. Because we don't live in a perfect world. We don't live in a world where world leaders act in the interests of people of European descent. Occasionally, people say and do things which are, in my opinion, the right thing and that sort of coincide with our goals. So, for example, Sergei Lavrov, the Russian foreign minister, stated that American domestic policy is effectively anti-white and bad for white people. Now, is that something that is good? Yes. Do I agree with that sentiment? Yes. Is it helpful that the foreign minister for one of the world's greatest superpowers is chastising America for the way America treats white people? Absolutely. They are all positive things. But again, does that mean that I would support everything that Sergei Lavrov says? No, it doesn't. It doesn't. But you don't have to support everything someone says to agree with them on one or two things. Somebody can be an ally on certain things, but you know, opposed to you on others. That is politics. And I do think that one thing that harms the nationalist movement, and I've said this before, is there are a certain degree of people that are absolutionists that believe that if somebody does not support you on every single thing that you believe, that person is your enemy. And I don't believe that's the case. I don't believe that somebody has to be your enemy or you have to disagree with them. And this is a problem that holds back people in the mainstream. So Republicans who supported Donald Trump were all for the end of the conflict in Afghanistan when Trump was president. They were all for that. They were like, you know, no more wars, no foreign wars, no this, no that. And then when Biden ended that war, they didn't really know what to say.
Like, yeah, but not like that.
Yeah, we wanted an end to the conflict, but we didn't want it to end in that way. By withdrawing troops?
Millions of Afghan translators who we left behind.
Exactly. Now, the other thing is, I know 100% for sure that had, and this is very important, had Trump pulled out and had Trump then bought the Afghan translators here, those same people would have probably been saying, why are we bringing these people here? They're not Americans. Mm-hmm. You know, had Biden brought them here, sorry, had Biden pulled out and brought the translators here, those people would have complained the translators were coming here. And that's the thing. I think there are people who are so partisan, that are so completely embedded in partisan politics, that they can't admit when somebody that they nominally don't like does something that they do like. Now, I often say this, but I think Tony Blair is one of the biggest disasters to happen to Britain. He was an absolutely terrible leader. He was a genocidal maniac. He is a war criminal. He is one of the worst leaders Britain has ever had. You know, you've got to say, you know, you'd put him up there, really, with Winston Churchill when it comes to being a war-hungry, genocidal maniac. But, saying that, he stopped people in the UK smoking in restaurants. And I liked that. That was a good policy. That was great. I used to go into restaurants and you'd have somebody smoking a giant fat cigar as you were trying to eat your meal with your girlfriend.
It could have even been Winston Churchill next to you smoking that cigar.
I certainly wouldn't want Winston Churchill anywhere near me, let alone smoking a cigar while I'm trying to eat. But those things were positives for me. Stopping.
Yeah, and you got to be honest in your assessment of people. Now, you know,
that doesn't mean I want Tony Blair to come for dinner. That doesn't mean he's the greatest prime minister ever. It doesn't mean I endorse Tony Blair. What it means is Tony Blair made one single policy change in his entire time as prime minister that I agreed with. And that doesn't mean I'm shilling for him. It just means I understand that sometimes people, no matter how different to you, they will do things that you approve of. Because politics isn't just this game of whatever your enemy says, you have to disagree with. So if your enemy says, you know, start breathing oxygen, you're then like, no, 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 I will only breathe pure nitrogen. that's not going to work, mate. You're going to die. It's not a matter. Politics is not just a matter of doing the opposite of what your enemy does.
To a lot of people, it is, though.
It is for some people, and that's a sad indictment of those people. You know, the fact is, politics is about achieving something good for your people. And when I say something good, there are multiple things we are trying to achieve. We are trying to achieve what is better for white people. And that means good policies on both a level of race, health, religion, gender, traditionalism, child rearing, all of those things are things that we need to get right for our people to prosper. So when Putin says something about, you know, or Putin's administration says something about white people, or, you know, that is positive, or when Putin's administration says something about traditionalism that is positive, when Putin himself made that speech, The Empire of Lies, if I had personally made that speech about the West, people would have been saying, well, that was a good video, Mark. You really knocked it out of the park there. You said some stuff that we all agree with. But because Putin said that, and because at the same time Putin has done some things which are not in the interests of white nationalists in Russia, you have a number of people saying, well, we must reject this, you know, what Putin's saying now, because he's done bad things. But that game of playing opposites, I don't think it's in our interest.
A lot of people do that. I'm just amazed how many people effectively let AOC do their thinking, because anything AOC says, they have to renounce and do the exact opposite. So, you know, there is no leader around the world who would do everything the way I would, right? And consequently, I don't know if I took over a country, I know exactly what I'd want to do. I don't know how successful I'd be. you know, it's never been there. It's possible that I'd be invaded or overthrown or whatever, taken down somehow. And so one measure of a leader of a country is to look at the track record of whether or not they've improved the lot for their country. And when Putin took over, it became prime minister in 1999, the country was mired in poverty. The life expectancy of Russian men had contracted by 7 years. The finances were a mess. They were heavily indebted to the West, and also had created kind of a power vacuum, allowing the United States to be the world's only superpower. It was a unipolar world, and the United States was just running roughshod. And it just bombed a European country, Yugoslavia or Serbia, and it was, you know, it could bomb anywhere it wanted, and in short order, launched major wars in Afghanistan and Iraq because there was no counterweight. And so what is, I don't agree with a lot of the things Putin does, but at the same, and you know, a lot of the times I wish he would stand up more against the United States or actually talk more openly about Jewish power. I wish he would do things. But the fact of the matter is, he has been successful. And if you look at the track record, if you look at the standard of living for Russian people, if you look at their health, their life expectancy, I mean, it's still shorter than other countries, but it's gotten a lot better under him. You look at the fact that United States is not, obviously, no longer the world's only superpower, but it is being balanced by a Russia-Chinese alliance. There's a lot of very objective measures you can look at and say, well, Vladimir Putin has been successful. And look around the world, and you'd be hard-pressed to find somebody with as successful a track record. He's been in there for 23 years. You know, there are a lot of people that you look at and you say, oh, you know, like Donald Trump. I was excited when he was elected, but he was unable to get hardly anything accomplished. Even his signature policy of a wall on the Mexican border, he couldn't get that done. He got it started, but he couldn't get it done.
Donald Trump was even so ineffective. And now, this is going to sound harsh because we know that he had the election stolen from him. But he didn't manage to get re-elected. And when I say he didn't manage to get re-elected, I'm not saying that he lost that election legitimately, because I don't believe he did. But he spent those years in power, and he failed in that time to put any measures in place to stop the steal. And that's very important. So if you're in charge of the poker table and you think there might be shenanigans at foot, well, you want to make sure that you've put measures in place so that there cannot be shenanigans afoot. So that ultimately, when you are, you know, when you sit back, there's enough checks and balances there so things actually are fair. And he was in charge, and he could have ensured that there were checks and balances. He could have used his power to make sure that when he was up for re-election, there were proper checks and balances at for, you know, a big federal election like that. And he didn't. What he did is he sat back and he waited to the last minute. And then when it got to the last minute and he realized he was being outflanked, he couldn't do anything. Another great example of Trump's failure is he constantly talked and paid lip service about regulating social media and the power that social media had over normal people and their lives. And he talked about, you know, conservatives being banned on social media. But did he do anything about conservatives being banned on social media? No. And in the end, he was the biggest conservative to ever be banned on social media. A sitting president was banned on social media. Now, this sounds, again, like a, you know, you know, I'm not trying to be sort of nasty to the guy. I'm not trying to put the boot in. But what I am saying is, when he had power, he failed to put anything in place to ensure that when he came up for re-election, there was an even and fair playing field.
Okay. That's a fair assessment. We'll be right back.
Tweetly had his beard. From now he always shall be single. To fall in love with boys is weird, especially boys without a tingle. Blackadder, Blackadder, his taste is rather odd. Blackadder, Blackadder, a randy little sod. Lord Flasher, Lord Flasher, I wish you were the star. Lord Flashheart, Lord Flashheart, you're sexier by far.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new Ease-Off Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The Ease-Off lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the Ease-Off? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my Ease-Off?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. Ease-Off LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because big tech, big pharma, and big brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
We are back. One final word about Donald Trump. You know, I'm willing to say that, okay, it may be actually a lot harder to get things done when you're actually in that position. You know, it's easy to second guess people, and maybe it, you know, he tried, and it was a lot harder than any of us realized to get things done. But that's also the same reason I look at Vladimir Putin. He's gotten an awful lot done. He's been in for 23 years in the you know, in that same period of time, you look around the world, like you look at the other European countries, and they've been inundated with a flood of you know, Middle Easterners and Africans, and his country hasn't. His country had conquered a whole bunch of, Siberia and other part areas. And so they've got these people. They still have a multi-ethnic society. That's what he inherited. But he's not being overrun by immigrants. And, is he making compromises? Has he made compromises with some of the oligarchs, some of the Jewish oligarchs? Yeah. Does he do business with Israel? Yeah. But at the end of the day, you just look at that total of all the pluses, all the minuses, and what he's actually accomplished, and I think overwhelmingly the ledger is on the plus side, and I think it's really imperative that he is able to successfully stand up to NATO and put an end to this unipolar world system. Mark?
Well, no, I completely agree. I think one of the most important things about this is this counterbalance. It's an important counterbalance to observe, because fundamentally NATO is, and look, I view everything primarily through the view of, is this good for my people? Is this good for white people? Is this good for people of European descent? And if the answer is no, that is not good for people of European descent, well, okay, you have to oppose that. And I believe that one of the things that has been most bad for people of European descent, or maybe least good would be another way of putting it, one of the things that has been least good for people of European descent is the fact that NATO has exported as rapidly as it can American globalized, homogenized culture. American globo homo has been one of the worst things that has been exported via NATO to Eastern European countries. And if you look at what has gone on in these Eastern European countries that have fallen under the watchful eye of, America and America's power, is that fundamentally you end up with a situation where these European countries, they go from being traditional Christian places. They go from being places where, Christianity, traditionalism, and all sorts of things that have stood them in good stead for I was going to say decades, but it's not centuries, or, for centuries, quickly start being absolutely wiped out and disappearing. And then those people start to embrace all of the evils that are destroying the West. Mm-hmm. And I think Putin has been an important bulwark against, feminism, globo homo, mass immigration, anti-whitism. I think he has been good in that sense.
I agree. Okay, well, I think we responded to those criticisms, either that we're not shills or that we are shills and it's a good thing we're shills. You look at it either way. But you've got your shows. Any previews for your shows this week, Wednesday and Friday?
Yes, I have a show on Wednesday with Jared Taylor, and I have a pre-recorded video on Friday, and it's about a piece of news which I think is very, very important. So I will leave that for people to hopefully find out then, because I think it's a very important thing I'm talking about. I think it's something that really needs talking about, and it's a very sad story, but I'll leave it to you whether you think it's the story will be sad, but the fact the mainstream media have ignored the story should be something that they're interested in.
Okay, well, thanks for joining me, Mark, and I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of Fast on Bugle Radio.
You won't admit you love me, and so how am I ever to know? You always tell me.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
You're listening.
listening to Real Talk Radio. Only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.